Coming up on today's episode of the St. Petersburg Foodies Podcast. There's another anniversary right after that, too.
Our grand opening, yeah.
Didn't you get married?
Oh, yeah. Sorry. It's all about business now.
Yeah. Troy's the guy.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm supposed to be nervous.
Yeah, exactly.
And one of my buddies who I worked with had gone up one night and came back to work. And he's like, man, I met this guy. He said he can show us how to make it. It'll be way cheaper if we make it ourselves. And that guy,
awesome.
You think that. You know, you're like, oh, yeah, it's going to be way cheaper.
Yeah. That is so funny.
But that guy ended up being Greg Rapp.
Coming to you from St. Petersburg, Florida, you're listening to the St. Petersburg Foodies Podcast, the show that's the authority on where to eat in St. Pete. Here are your hosts, Kevin Godby and Lori Brown.
Hi, I'm Kevin Godby.
And I'm Lori Brown. Thank you for tuning in today.
Welcome to the St. Petersburg Foodies Podcast, the podcast that's it when it comes to restaurants and food information in St. Pete.
And be sure to check out our website, stpetersburgfoodies.com. There you'll find great information, including restaurant reviews, the largest St. Pete happy hour list ever created and kept updated, and information on the newest restaurants in town. We are locals that live in downtown St. Pete, and we've been eating our way through this town for years, so you don't have to, but you should.
We have a new episode every Tuesday. Just hit the subscribe button and you'll get notified when an episode is ready for download. And then you can listen to them anytime you want, like on your morning jog or commute to work.
On today's show, our featured guests are Troy and Jessica Bledsoe from Overflow Brewing.
Overflow specializes in sour beers and makes them in all styles, from pilsners to IPAs and everything in between.
Also joining us is local St. Pete musician Oscar Matayana.
We have a great show, so stick around.
Food lovers, how would you like to get half off of your entrees and adult beverages for you and your guests at many of the area's best local restaurants? Thanks to Club Saver, now you can all day, every day. Club Saver's members get half off their entrees and adult beverages at over 50 of the Bay Area's leading eateries and drinkeries. Imagine a juicy steak dinner with all the trimmings, half off. Your favorite seafood dinner, half off. Plus, vegan and gluten-free options are often available. Enjoy drinks? You and your guest will enjoy half off your favorite beer, wine, or cocktail. As a member of Club Saver, you may visit your favorite venues as often as you like, as well as discover new locations where the food is delicious and the price is right. Visit clubsaver.com now for the restaurant list and discover how easy it is to join and start saving money while dining at the area's popular local restaurants. At under $30 a month, the membership pays for itself in one night out. Members love the smartphone ID and the ease of use. Let them know we sent you by using our custom referral code, St. Pete Foodies. Enjoy more, explore more, savor more, clubsaver.com.
St. Pete is all about local, and this year we celebrate a local legend's 25th anniversary. Roland Oates Market and Cafe was founded in July of 94 by Bert Swain and Larry Schwartz. From the beginning, Roland Oates has made a commitment to provide St. Pete customers with the finest quality organic whole foods, nutritional supplements, and body care products at the most reasonable prices possible. And now they have a South Tampa location too. We go there for many items, but they are the only place that we go to buy our raw probiotics and other supplements. They have the best organic whole food selection in town, and on the flip side of that, they also offer a fantastic selection of wines and an unparalleled selection of local craft beer. Roland Oates has a cafe open daily which offers delicious sandwiches, burgers, soups, salads, bowls, wraps, entrees, and fresh-made smoothies, along with a variety of prepared and packaged take-home meals located in the market itself. Do you pride yourself with supporting local businesses? Well, put your money where your mouth is and get on into Roland Oates today.
Roland Oates St. Pete is located at 2842 Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. Street North. And in South Tampa, you'll find them at 1021 North MacDill Avenue. Check them out on the web at rolandoates.com.
That's ROLLINOATES.com.
Welcome to the monthly St. Petersburg Foodies podcast recipe segment, sponsored by Rollin' Oats, and they are sponsoring the recipe segment on the podcast each month, also with all the ingredients, and also the entire recipe section on our website. And Abby.
Welcome.
Hello.
And Mike is here too.
Hello. Yeah.
Hey, Mike.
Glad to be here.
You don't see each other
now.
Your kitchen assistant.
Yes, he is my sous chef.
So we had some bowls today.
We did. Some healthified burgers, we will call them.
Yeah.
Burger bowls.
Healthified because they're minus the bread.
Minus the bread, yes.
Yes.
No cheese. Right. Healthy ingredients. Right.
And they were delicious.
Yes.
The burgers were superbly seasoned. Perfectly. Yes.
Salt, pepper, cooked in some ghee, and the cast iron skillet. That's the key to success.
Ghee?
You're not even having the hard seltzer, honey.
Right.
So just imagine a deconstructed burger in a bowl, which I think is perfect because the burger element, like all the ingredients that were in this burger, I could not pick that burger up and actually fit it in my mouth and enjoy eating it without having it all over the place. I don't eat those burgers. I never do because of that problem.
Exactly. So. Yep. I'm the same way. I always shy away from them because of that. And with this, I didn't have that problem. I could add as many ingredients as I wanted. And again, everything was found at Rollin' Oats, which was made shopping very, very easy. Everything from the grass-fed patties, which I think add a lot of flavor. I don't know if you guys agree.
No, they were delicious.
Yeah, they were awesome.
Grass-fed patties, the bacon, uncured, all natural, no preservatives. What else do we have? Some roasted sweet potatoes, the Bubby's pickles, which I love.
Those are delicious.
Delicious.
Don't forget the egg on top.
Oh, yes, of course.
And the avocado.
And the avocado.
And arugula. And that arugula, wow. I mean, I've had arugula that really gives you that nutty flavor, but this one really popped.
It's a great brand. The Organic Girl, I think, is the brand we use, and it's actually a spinach and arugula mix.
Nice.
So, yeah, great for salads, great for, obviously, this purpose. Mm-hmm. And
what were the little greens that were in there?
Microgreens.
Oh, there you go. Little micro.
Yeah.
what kind of micro?
They were the spicy selection. So there's a mixture of different things in there, and they make all kinds of microgreens. And again, from Rollin' Oats, of course. Mm-hmm. And I can tell you, they are very particular about their greens. I've gone in there a couple of times and asked for the microgreens, and I said, I don't see them out. And they said, you know what, we didn't like the last batch we had. We're just, you know, going to wait till we get something that's a little, you know, the quality's a little better, which is awesome, you know. Mm-hmm. So I went when I was doing my shopping last weekend, lo and behold, there they were. Because I put the microgreens on. Everything. Mike probably wishes that I wouldn't. He says, why are you feeding me all this bird food? Rabbit food, he calls it. But I love them. I think they're
pretty. Of course, there were tomatoes.
Yes. Tomatoes, some organic tomatoes. What else? I think that
Did
was
we
it.
Did mention onion?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, the onions. Onion. Yeah, that was
caramelized
delicious.
Caramelized onion. Yeah.
Those are awesome.
Red onion.
Yeah. And all that is onion and slow cooked in some grass-fed butter.
Right.
For like 20 minutes. And that was it. And then that sauce, too, which... that was just barbecue ranch. Yes. Yep.
Interestingly enough, the sauce was presented to me in a jar that was sitting in front of me, but I was just eating this without anything. I didn't salt it.
I forgot to put it on
anything.
Too.
And Mike had mentioned he liked it with hot sauce. I didn't put anything on it at all. It was delicious.
Perfect.
But if you wanted to add a sauce, the barbecue ranch would be perfect.
Yes, absolutely. As dressing, a sauce, whatever.
And that's found at Rollin' Oats, too. What's the brand?
Primal Kitchen. And they have tons of Primal Kitchen stuff. There's all kinds of flavors. I want to say there's probably more 8 to 10 flavors that they have. So, yeah, the ranch and barbecue, it just sounded appropriate for the burgers. So.
And you know what? Not to take anything away, I really mean this as a compliment, but you are an expert at making things that are just super delicious. They look beautiful. And they're super easy to do.
So simple. Mm-hmm. I am an advocate for less is more.
You are the non-intimidating recipe creator.
I don't know if I would call her that, because anything you post on Facebook does not look that simple.
I'm always intimidated. No, I know. When you see it posted, it looks shit, I can't do that. But then when you find out the recipe, it's not that hard.
No.
So what we're saying is don't feel that way. and go and check out Abby's recipe. It's on the website.
stpetersburgfoodies.com and rollinoats.com.
Yes. Thank you again, Abby, for another wonderful meal.
Thank you. We'll see you guys next time.
Yes.
We will be right back. I love soup, and I'm always in search of a great soup. Ramen is just so complex and delicious with layers of complex flavors in its broth. Buya Ramen is one of my favorite places in downtown St. Pete, so much so that I recently included them on my top 5 Asian noodle soups list for their pork belly ramen. Now, Buya's success is not just about the ramen. It's a hip, upbeat environment meant for unwinding and socializing with house-crafted cocktails, a large selection of Japanese whiskey, and izakaya, too. Those are small plates of different types of appetizers that are delicious, as well as the ramen. The ambiance of the place, along with the friendliness of the owners and staff, really adds to the character and charm of Buya. And to add to its coolness, the owners are actually opening up 4 more stores, one in Miami, and 3 in Berlin, of all places. Yes, Berlin, Germany. How cool is that?
Buya Ramen is located at 911 Central Avenue in downtown St. Pete and is open 7 days a week at 11 a.m. Do ya, Buya?
How many times have you heard a restaurant say that they have healthy food that actually tastes great? I've heard it a lot, but unfortunately, it's usually one or the other and not both. Until the brass bowl came around.
Right.
Their food actually is healthy and tastes so darn delicious.
So good. They use organic ingredients and responsibly sourced seafood. Brass Bowl offers gluten-free, vegan, and carnivorous options. There truly is something for everyone. You will find imaginative flatbreads, bowls, and tasty, delicious small plates. With options like fresh roasted seasonal veggies, 24-hour sous vide hanger steak, house-smoked salmon, and free-range chicken breast.
And up front, they have a cold-pressed juice station and separate menu with juice bowls and elixir shots. It's like 2 open kitchens in one.
Brass Bowl Kitchen and Juicery is really on the cutting edge of the fast, casual culture that is enjoying so much fame these days. Go get bowled over by Brass Bowl.
Brass Bowl Kitchen and Juicery is located at 656 Central Avenue in downtown St. Pete, and you can check them out on the web at brassbowlkitchen.com. Welcome to the St. Petersburg Foodies Podcast. I'm your host, Kevin Godby. My co-host is Lori Brown, as usual. We like to call her Downtown Lori Brown. And our guests today are Troy and Jessica Bledsoe from Overflow Brewing in downtown St. Pete. Welcome to the show.
Yes, thanks for having us.
And did you bring beer?
No, we love the beer.
Sorry.
But we're having beer anyway, though.
Yes, Kevin provided
it. We raided the fridge. And I'm drinking a sour beer. And oh, Jessica, you're drinking a sour beer too. Cool. So Overflow Brewing turned a year old in May.
April, actually.
Oh, was it April? Okay.
Yep. Congratulations. April.
Thank you.
And there's another anniversary right after that, too.
Our grand opening, yeah.
Didn't you get married?
Yeah. Sorry. It's all about business now.
Yeah. Troy's the guy.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm supposed to be nervous.
Yeah, exactly. September.
We'll get more into Overflow on the back half, but you, before that, got your experience from... Right. I guess sort of a local legend in the business who recently passed, unfortunately, after a battle with cancer, Greg Rapp from Rapp Brewing in Largo.
Correct, yeah.
And so let's learn about you guys. How did you... You were a home brewer, of course. But
yes.
Where are you from?
Yeah.
I'm originally from this county, from Pinellas County in St. Petersburg.
Awesome.
Over at St. Anthony's.
Nice.
But as far as brewing goes, I got into craft beer by coming downtown one time with one of my friends, and I was a Coors Light drinker,
mm-hmm.
and he's like, go to the Independent with me and try some craft beer. So I was like, all right, give it a shot. And so I had a Great Divide Hercules double IPA.
How long ago was that?
Oh, geez.
The old Independent or the new?
The old one.
That was the original one.
Yeah, the original one, the third right there.
Mm-hmm.
And so I had that, and I was like, man, this is amazing. And that was probably about 9 or 10 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And I switched from macro lagers to, I was like, man, I'm only going to buy craft beer from now on. But it got like really expensive. And we were going to Willard's. Willard's had just opened up. And one of my buddies who I worked with had gone up one night and came back to work. And he's like, man, I met this guy. He said he can show us how to make it. It'll be way cheaper if we make it ourselves. And that guy,
awesome.
You think that. You know, you're like, oh, yeah, it's going to be way cheaper.
That is so funny.
But that guy ended up being Greg Rapp. And,
oh, no way. That's awesome.
And he hadn't quite opened up his brewery yet, but he opened up his house for us to come and start once a month brewing over there. Mm-hmm. And then he made his announcement, oh, I'm going to open up my brewery. Mm-hmm. And so I'd continue home brewing, and I'd bring him in samples. And then one day I brought in a hibiscus saison, and it kind of blew him away. And he's like, let's brew that at my place, and we'll go ahead and sell it and see how it goes. And from there, like, it sold really well. And then I got a job in the tasting room, kind of just volunteering on weekends. And when he actually had time to bring on a production brewer, he brought me on. I quit my 9-to-5. Take this
job and shove it. Wow.
And moved on from there.
And what were you doing 9-to-5?
I was assessing homeowners insurance.
Oh, wow.
Yes.
Wow.
Riveting.
Yeah, yes. I'm a realtor, so yeah, I get it.
Beer's way cooler.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Way cooler.
Cigarettes and beer kick ass.
Yeah. I had a similar thing. I didn't become a brewer, but just as far as appreciating good beer. Because if you would have talked to me a year and a half ago, I would have said, I'm not really into beer. I don't really like it. Because the only thing I ever drank was, like, you know, much younger, but, you know, Miller, Coors, right. Michelob. Michelob's okay. That was probably the best one then. Calling that beer and then what you guys make beer is almost like a sin. It's like
It's not even on the spectrum.
Yeah.
You were actually the first brewery in St. Petersburg
that we ever published something on.
Kevin and I actually went to together. No, but we were. We've even gone to together.
Right, because
other than Rap, they're not in St. Pete. We went to Rap because of Jason being in that contest that one time, remember?
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Peterson.
Yeah, Jason Peterson, friend of ours, friend of yours.
Yes, I know. He drew your chalkboard.
He did. Excellent job there. His wife actually sold us our house, too.
Ah,
oh, that's cool.
Yes, I sold her hers.
Yeah, so going back to when we published you guys and tying in with my learning experience and newfound appreciation for good beer, at one point I'm like, I don't really drink beer. I'm not into it, but we're going to hire somebody to write about the craft breweries and review their beers and stuff. So we do that. And while she's just getting started, I'm thinking, well, shoot, I'm the publisher. I better know how to publish a real beer review. So I went and I started reading all like the big sites. Untapped, what are a few of the others?
Like ratebeer.com.
Ratebeer. And I also Googled articles and researched like how a professional beer reviewer actually would do it. And I said, this is what we have to do.
Yeah.
As I'm learning that, I was thinking, this is interesting. I'm going to learn more about this. So then I bought this book, The Complete Beer Course or something like that, where they teach you all the different styles of beers, where they originated, why they are, how they are, and how to brew and all that stuff. And I start learning about the hops and malts and barley, and then we come visit you, and you were so cool. You brought us in the back, and we got to taste stuff.
Mm-hmm. I was like, the different kinds of grains, the dark ones.
I was like, this is like grape nuts. Mm-hmm. I figured out grape nuts is like beer cereal.
That's basically what it is.
So, Jessica, how did the two of you meet?
And are you from, St. Pete?
No, I'm from Bay City, Michigan.
Oh, wow.
But I've been in St. Pete for now 11 years.
Mm-hmm.
But we just met through the beer community. I was into beer. He worked at the brewery, so I went to all the beer festivals and all the breweries in town, and so that's really just where we met, just friends of friends.
Mm-hmm.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Started dating, one thing led to another.
Yeah, exactly. Now we're married, and I forget our anniversary.
did you get drunk at a brewery and make out?
No. Yeah. Maybe.
Trying to think about that.
Possibly.
Yeah. Could have happened.
They were drunk. Happened. They don't remember. That's funny.
And prior to starting Overflow, you were in banking, right?
I was, yeah. Mm-hmm. For 10 long years of being a banker.
And there's nothing wrong with that, but beer is cooler than that, too.
Oh, yeah. I can drink on the job now. It's okay.
yeah,
exactly.
Having a hard day.
Don't have to hide it under my desk anymore.
It's like I'm supposed to do I'm supposed to do this.
Yeah, that's right?
That's funny.
It's my job.
Quality control.
Quality control, yeah.
Yeah,
exactly.
And not to leave anybody out, there is a third person as correct, part of the
Ryan Sarno.
Ryan Sarno, and he's business operations.
Yeah, he's kind of our CFO, financial guy.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Right. So you guys get to do the fun stuff, and he gets to do the stuff that has to be done.
Pretty much. Awesome.
Yeah. The stuff you used to do.
Right.
Yeah. Pass on to him.
Right.
And he has an interesting background, too. He was in some big poker tournaments.
Yeah, he was a professional poker dealer.
Dealer, okay.
Yeah, he did world poker.
And are you guys doing some poker stuff or similar themed stuff?
Not currently, because it's the legality of that can kind of be kind of a gray area.
Right.
There are some ways to do it, you know, for bar tabs and things like that. But still, it's kind of a weird place.
Mm-hmm. If you ever do it, let me know. I'd love to play Texas Hold'em.
Oh yeah,
we love poker.
Me too. I play online all the time.
So we'll take a quick break, and then we'll come back and get more into the details of Overflow Brewing and the awesome beers you guys have.
All right.
Cool.
We'll be right back. Keep on moving. One of our favorite places to go eat in St. Pete is Engine No. 9. They've been a staple in downtown St. Pete coming up on 7 years, and they are famous for their unique and tasty burger creations. As a matter of fact, they are on the St. Pete Foodies list of best burgers in St. Pete. They also made the best hot dogs list, the best chilies, and the best wings in St. Pete. Aside from the food, Engine No. 9 is a great sports bar with lots of TVs, beer, and wine. And you can even get a regular old cheeseburger, too, so you can bring your non-adventurous eater friends. Check out Engine No. 9 at the corner of MLK and 1st Avenue North in downtown St. Pete. Their burgers can't be beat. Welcome back to the St. Petersburg Foodies Podcast. We are here with Troy and Jessica Bledsoe from Overflow Brewing in downtown St. Pete. And you guys specialize in sour beers, which before you opened, I didn't know existed. Mm. And now it's one of my favorite genres.
Yay.
I'm drinking one right now.
That's our goal.
Yay. So also on break, you started telling us, you know, you're a few months past a year. Mm. And
you were talking about your first year and how you just kind of...
Yeah, yeah, you know, so...
You're the renowned again, yeah, brewer was, from RAP.
A little cocky there, you know, and I thought that the beer community would just be flocking to us and drove and driving the business model that we're going for, and that just wasn't the case. So over the course of that first year, we actually had to, I mean, do events and reach out to the community, especially the downtown St. Petersburg community, and rely off that and walk-bys and in building a customer base, mm-hmm. Based off just regulars that live downtown.
Right.
And
right.
So we've just recently, in the past couple of months, seen our numbers from last year are way better this year based off of just cultivating those relationships.
Yeah. That's good to hear. And how have things evolved after the first year from the beginning to where we are now?
I mean, we still have the same focus on the brewery. So obviously having the best beer that we can have, as well as focusing on being a neighborhood brewery, comfortable, homey spot. That's always been our focus, and we continue to strive for that. But also, since then, we've been able to upgrade two of our fermenters to 7-barrel fermenters, which was huge for us because we were having an issue keeping beer on tap. Mm-hmm. So we have 16 taps, and there was many times where we'd have a really busy weekend or a week, and you come in and there's 7 beers left. And we're like, oh,
uh-oh.
Wow.
what do we do now? So, you know, we are able to upgrade that. We have some other expansions soon that are going to be happening to be able to do crawlers and brew even more beer. So we're excited about different things that we have going on. Just keep brewing because obviously St. Pete likes it. So
are you thinking of distribution at some point down the line?
It's possible. At this point, we're just solely focused on the tasting room and being able to keep up with that.
Yeah, distribution is like a whole nother business.
It is, yeah. So if we do distribute, it'll be very small to select accounts, to beer events, tap takeovers.
Cool.
So,
And stuff. For anybody that doesn't know or hasn't experienced a sour beer before, I made a note of what you first said to me, Troy. Think sour candy or unsweetened lemonade. So yeah, if you like sour candy, like Jolly Ranchers, I guess, a little bit.
Yeah. Yeah, they're a little sweeter. I guess it depends on the Jolly Rancher that you had.
Yeah. And the beer, too. Now, within sour beers, you also do the other, other known genres.
Oh, yes. So we've got IPAs, Hefeweizen, Stouts, Porters, Brown Ales. Yeah, we run the whole gamut on that.
Yeah. There's more than one way to do the sour beers, and you do it a certain way.
Correct,
can you explain that?
So we do mostly what is known as a kettle sour. And so what we do is we introduce bacteria into a pasteurized wort in the kettle, and we maintain a certain temperature, about 95 degrees. And over the course of 2 to 3 days, pH drops and the beer becomes sour. Typically what you do in this situation is you boil it to kill the bacteria and then move the now soured wort into the fermenter and pitch your yeast like normal. Mm-hmm. But we just recently started doing a process where we pitch a certain kind of yeast that can ferment to 95 degrees into our fermenter with the live lactobacillus.
Oh, wow.
And they'll sour and ferment together.
So that speeds up the process.
Yeah. And it also doesn't tie up our kettle, so we can continue brewing more beer at the same time.
Oh, wow.
Which you have to do to keep those 16 taps full.
Exactly. Yeah.
And the beer that way comes out like really clean and crisp. Mm-hmm. I mean, our kettle sours do as well, but I feel like this process is kind of a game changer for us.
Yeah.
Super like sour beers.
Nice.
We're gonna have to get in there and try them.
Yeah, we have one right now that has a hibiscus and sage.
Oh, nice.
Really good. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Wow. Nice and refreshing for the extra warm weather we have in the summer.
Especially this summer.
Yeah.
Now, when you're creating the beers, do you... Well, okay. First, I was going to ask this two-part question in reverse order. Is there any type of monitoring or tasting process? Because I know, like, when with distilled spirits, they'll let some time go by and they'll give it a taste, see where it's at, and then maybe some more time. Is there something similar to that with beer?
Sure. The main way that you're able to detect if a beer is done, really, is going to be your measuring of sugars. So when you start a beer, you're at a higher point of sugars, and when you're done fermentation, you're at a lower point of sugars because the yeast have converted those sugars into alcohol and CO2. So that basically gives you a baseline of like, all right, well, this beer is kind of done right now.
Mm-hmm.
And along the way, while you're taking those readings, you are tasting as that goes, just check on the progress of the beer.
Mm-hmm.
When you're more nuanced, you can taste a young beer and be like, okay, it's working. It's on its way to where it needs to be. There's still some flaws because it's not done yet, but it's still on its way. There's nothing wrong with it at this point.
So is it all by your experience and personal tasting, or are there some tools or measurement devices?
There are measurement devices for the sugar part, but experience is definitely going to come into play when it comes to tasting it.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And knowing what every beer and whatever style should taste like.
Right.
That's very important.
Mm-hmm.
Same thing with cooking.
Yeah.
Right.
And they measure sugar levels with grapes before they harvest for wine. It's kind of the similar type.
It's very similar. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
When you are creating a new beer, how does that happen? Do you like wake up one morning and say, I want to do a hibiscus beer?
Well, hibiscus sage.
A lot of times inspiration comes from some really strange places. So when we were in Asheville that one time, we went to Biscuit Head.
We love Biscuit Head.
And they had the jam and butter bar.
Mm-hmm.
And there was peach rosemary jam that was there.
Yeah.
And we tasted it. It's like, man, those flavors really pop and go together. Mm-hmm. So we're like, let's make a sour beer out of that. And finally got home, we brewed that beer up, and it turned out fantastic. So like, sometimes inspiration hits there. Or we'll go to a cocktail bar and see a cool combination there. And most of the times, if it works in liquor, then it's going to work in beer.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And then, how do you decide like which hops you're going to use, which malts, and what your ingredients are going to be? Is that based on experience too? That you know, like this will work better with this.
To a degree,
I'm trying to hit.
Definitely, experience is definitely going to help there as well. Luckily enough, for most brewers, they produce flavor and aroma notes for every kind of hop that's out there right now, so you can kind of read those and kind of play around with those and say, I want to add a little bit of pine layer here, but with some citrus fruit here, so you can choose different kinds of hops that kind of like layer on top of each other.
And then, where do you get your hops? Locally, nationally, internationally?
Nationally, right now, BSG Brewers Supply Group, which is where I get my grains. I get a lot of hops from them as well, so they'll show up in my grain shipping. Michigan Hop Alliance, those guys, Yakima Valley. From over west, over in Washington. Mm-hmm. So all over the place.
Right, because there's certain ones that probably just grow in certain areas.
Yeah, similar to grapes, there's those latitudes where hops can grow a lot better than.
And the soil and all that makes the change, a difference in the flavors and all that.
Yeah, and sometimes we have to adjust the hops that we're going to use based on cost.
Mm-hmm.
So we've seen, especially as of recently, certain hops that we would have used regularly are triple the price that they used to be per pound. So we kind of have to evaluate different hops and get the same profile.
Low yields or just because the hop industry knows that it's a popular hop right now, they'll raise the price.
Right, exactly.
Supply and demand.
Yeah, we went from paying $13 a pound here to now it's $30 a pound.
Right.
You know, and your minimum order is 11 pounds, you know, so that kind of stuff like really becomes cost prohibitive.
Well, it has to. In order to stay in business, you got to evaluate
so
all that.
Can we, for the listeners, describe some of the different beers that are available, the names of them, what they might taste like, and let's get some people in tasting some beer.
Yeah, so a few of my favorites right now is the hibiscus sage beer that we just spoke about, the sour. It's really hibiscus on the front end, then on the back it's just a hint of sage, and those two ingredients go really well together, better than we kind of expected. Mm-hmm. And that one is called hashtag overblown Electric Boogaloo.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So another one that we have right now is called Jump Kick Everybody, and that is a Cascadian Dark Ale, more commonly known as a black IPA. Think about if a stout and an IPA had a baby. This is the beer that they would have made, and it's just caramely, chocolatey, then bitter finish.
Mm-hmm.
We also have coming up, it's a cotton candy grape Berliner. So we took 60 pounds of cotton candy grapes, washed them, juiced them, added it to Berliner, and so you get a really nice grape cotton candy flavor out of it. Yeah, it's a lot of fun. So
We might have to go there after lunch. But that's this weekend. Okay.
Yeah. So well, it's in the fermenter. You can come try it. It's just not carbonated yet.
Right. Awesome.
So, yeah, those are some of my favorites that we have going on right now.
Have you ever made a watermelon?
We recently did. Yeah, we did the watermelon Berliner for our anniversary party.
The watermelon Berliner. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's good. Watermelon's hard. It's hard to get a lot of flavor out of it.
It's a very subtle flavor. So right. Yeah. You need a
same
lot
with
of
kiwis.
That juice.
You need a lot of it.
Oh, interesting. Because it's so juicy, you wouldn't think that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, and somebody can come in and just have like a, they can get a tiny little taste.
Oh, yeah. We encourage you to.
At no charge to see if they might like it or not.
And absolutely.
So you can do that. And then there's different size pours you can get.
Yep.
And then you guys also have, you have food trucks all the time.
Every weekend we try to have food trucks, unless there's an emergency they had to cancel.
It's like wrangling cats.
Yeah.
So
we try to do Fridays and Saturdays having food trucks, but a lot of times unforeseen things will stop them from showing up.
But do you post that on your Facebook page?
We do.
Okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And then there's trivia nights, board game nights,
yep.
live painting.
Yep. We do that once a month on Sundays.
Mm-hmm.
And you guys are currently, your hours are Monday to, correct me if I'm wrong, Monday to Thursday, 3 to 10.
Correct.
Friday and Saturday, 12 to 12.
Correct.
Sunday, 12 to 9.
Yep.
That's awesome. And we didn't mention where you're located. That would probably be good info. The 700 block at the western end of the 700 block on 1st Ave North, which is 770 First Ave North. Just look for the big monstrosity, gigantic building that they're kind of 80-90%
And our building is covered in murals, too, so it's kind of hard to miss. From
oh, right, yeah, because we did our write-up so early, you didn't have the murals.
Yeah, it was all just gray there.
And the murals are 3D, so ask the bartender for 3D glasses.
Oh, cool.
Oh, no way, that's awesome.
Yeah, that's
we
really
have the
cool.
first 3D murals in downtown.
Very cool.
That is so awesome.
Yeah, and something I want to say also is, I think you touched on this earlier, Jessica, but it's just so warm and inviting and friendly at Overflow.
It is.
And not to pick on any other places, and maybe it's just because I'm still kind of a novice at craft beer, but some places I'll be walking down the sidewalk, I'll walk up on, and I'm thinking, I'm scared to go in there.
It can be intimidating sometimes.
Yeah, yeah. It's intimidating. I'm just being honest.
Yeah.
But I don't feel that way with you guys.
Thank you.
Maybe because you're the first brewery I actually toured and stuff.
I like that.
So, and the website is overflowbrewing.co.
Yep.
And also on Facebook.
And on Instagram.
And Instagram.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Troy and Jessica,
thank you
so much.
Thank you for having
thank
us. Really
you.
Appreciate that.
That's great.
We will be right back.
This is Julie Black. Dave Eichenberger on guitar. You're listening to St. Pete Foodies Podcast. Maybe in your house or your car.
Welcome back to the St. Petersburg Foodies Podcast. Our music segment, which showcases local artists, is brought to you by One Step Media and Kate Reuter. One Step Media provides management, marketing, and booking services to independent artists, and Kate herself is also a singer-songwriter. Our local musical artist today is Oscar Mateana.
We will feature Oscar's song, White Lessons, after the Fast Five Foodies Questions. Welcome to the show, Oscar.
Thank you.
Are you ready for the Fast Five Foodies Questions?
Yeah, let's have it. I'm happy to be here.
What's your favorite food?
Oh, man. You know what? I have to be super, super stereotypical and just go straight for pizza.
Pizza. Hey, that's okay. Pizza is actually pretty awesome.
It's amazing.
One of the best inventions ever. Any toppings you like on your pizza?
You know, I'm a pretty basic guy when it comes to pizza. A lot. Oftentimes, I just order cheese, but I've been favoring some white pizza recently. Mm-hmm. And if I do get toppings, it's either going to be pepperoni or it's going to be margarita, is it called, right? With the tomato and the basil?
Yep. That's it. Totally. Okay. So what's your least favorite food?
Oh, brother. You know, I don't know if you call it a food, but I absolutely can't stand, no matter how many times I've tried it, wasabi.
Wasabi, huh?
Okay. Horseradish.
So you don't like horseradish?
I just can't. Okay. Yeah.
Well, I will be happy to take your share of the wasabi in the world.
Oh, that's wonderful. Yeah.
So will Lori. But what's your favorite restaurant in St. Pete?
Now, that is a tough one. since I travel a lot, or have been traveling a lot, I haven't been able to drop in as much as I'd like to. I actually have a list on my phone of stuff I want to try.
That's cool. That's awesome.
Yeah. I recently tried Park Shore Grill, which is fantastic. Mm-hmm.
They're excellent.
Really yep. enjoying that one.
Yep. You can't go wrong there, really.
I tell you what, it's actually in Gulfport. I don't know if that counts.
Sure, yeah.
Okay. Pia's Trattoria.
Pia's is kind of a legend around here, too.
Oh.
Both Pia's and Park Shore have been around for a long time.
Yeah.
So many new restaurants opening up, which is great. We love it. And the new restaurants kind of get talked about because they're new, but Park Shore and Pia's been around like forever.
Oh boy, I just can't get enough.
Salt or pepper?
Pepper.
Pepper. Yes. I'm with the pepper side too. Can you cook?
I can.
What do you cook?
I'm pretty basic. Usually I'll try to make, you know, two or three meals at once. And
oh yeah, cool.
Some chicken breasts and just either grill it or put it in the pan with some peppers and onions and mm-hmm. some salt and pepper, mostly pepper. You know, stuff that lasts a lot. Like recently I made burgers mm-hmm. With some good organic meat.
There's nothing wrong with basic, man.
Yeah.
You can't mess it up. I just and like it to, tastes great.
Yeah, I like to keep it simple. I'm only cooking for me, you know, so I don't need anything over the top.
So the song is White Lessons. Would it be a lifestyle song about drugs and drinking? Because you do sing about that.
Yeah, it's honestly the root of really what's going on in that song is just that notion that people get. You kind of get it in the back of your head and your gut, and it's that question that you say to yourself, why am I still doing this? Or I need to stop this, or I need to change this, you know, and you just never really getting around to doing it.
And right.
Yeah. Drinking and drugs and alcohol,
smoking,
all that stuff. It really, those are the ones that people have a lot of trouble cutting out.
Yes, this is true. Dieting sometimes is hard too.
You know,
especially when you're running St. Pete Foodies.
Oh, I can only imagine. Yeah. Your pictures are,
Has to do a new verse for that. And I notice you're wearing a shirt, hashtag Rawsome.
That's right. It's from the New Orleans at the Acme Oyster House.
Ah, okay, cool.
Yeah.
I was wondering if it had to do with food, and it does. That's awesome.
Indeed.
So, Oscar, thank you so much for coming in. And here we are with White Lessons.
White Lessons, oh Lord, yeah. essence.
On last week's show with John Toddy from WEPA, Ward Smith said, "Love that guy. Don't we all?" Gloria sells Sarasota, "My brother making the news again. So proud of his success." And Anna Marie Suarez said, "Congratulations. Congratulaciones." We love to get comments on the show, so please comment on our episodes. You can comment on Facebook, which is where most people do, on our website, or on the podcast app that you use. New items on stpetersburgfoodies.com. This week include the Loaded Burger Bowl recipe that we talked about earlier, Bow and Mo 2.0. We do a review of Bow and Mo with over 10 items. They've also revamped the place, the interior, the booths, everything, so you can check out photos of that and read about the food. And we have a write-up on Club Savor, which is an exclusive membership dining club for Pinellas County. Next week on the podcast, we have Jeff Philbin, a Tampa chef that was on Season 8 of Master Chef. You can email us at info@stpetersburgfoodies.com. And if you're listening on Apple Podcasts, please give us a rating. We have a 5-star rating right now with just 15 ratings, so please join in on that if you haven't. It helps the show get found and gain new listeners. And you can also listen to us on iHeartRadio, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, TuneIn, and Player FM. So basically every podcast app out there. And also you can listen to us on your home assistant, such as Apple HomePod, Amazon Echo, and Google Home.
This is John Totti from WEPA St. Pete, and you're listening to the St. Petersburg Foodies Podcast.
Thanks for listening.
Thanks to our guests, Troy and Jessica Bledsoe.
And Oscar Matayana.
And thanks to our sponsors,
Roland Oats,
The Brass Bowl Kitchen and Juicery,
Club Savor,
Booya Ramen,
and Engine Number 9. Our announcer is Candice Aviles from Meet the Chef and Channel 10 News, and our theme music is provided by the Chris Walker Band.
We'd like to remind you to check out all the latest restaurant reviews, foodies news, top 10 lists, and updated happy hours on stpetersburgfoodies.com.
Please give us a rating and review on whichever app you're using to listen to the show. And remember to share the show with your foodie friends.
Until next time,
may your food be hot
and your bubbly cold.
Hey, I got a beer.